Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Own Your Awkward podcast. I'm your host, Andy Vargo, and today we have a very fast episode for you. We have Madonna Hanna and Marcus Chambers, who are both running for different medals in different competitions, but Olympics, Senior Olympics, all sorts of good stuff. Madonna and Marcus, how are you guys doing?
We are absolutely fabulous, but I'll let Marcus speak for himself.
Hey, we are definitely great, and we appreciate you having us on the show. We are excited to share our awkward moments.
That is awesome. I know the world can't wait to hear them. I am dying to hear them because I know you guys, and this is just going to be so much fun. But before we jump into that, why don't you guys share something exciting you guys have going on so the world knows a little bit about you?
Since I'm the lady, I will go first. Presently, Marcus is coaching me to compete in the Washington State Games, which will be next July. Following that, I will be competing in the National Senior Games, which will be held in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, in November 2021. I compete in the 50 and the 100 meter event. This will be actually Marcus has been my coach for a full year now and a few months. I am also a motivational speaker. Don't have my website yet, but it's going to be Dropkick the Drama, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, especially toward the end of the show, because I do have a golden nugget to share there. And Marcus and I are both working on speeches as the tag team. I will wrap it up right there and let my coach introduce himself.
All right.
Thank you,
Let's
Madonna.
Hear it, Marcus.
Okay. My name is Marcus Chambers, and currently I am a professional track and field athlete with Team USA. Due to COVID, the Olympics were supposed to be going on right now, but they were postponed one whole year. And every single day I am training as hard as I can to make sure that next June I will be ready for Olympic trials to make the USA team and go win gold. That is my dream, and that is what I'm striving for every day. Until that time comes, Madonna just told you guys that I'm her coach, but she is also my coach / mentor. She is helping me become a motivational international speaker, and she also told you guys we are the tag team, so she is helping me develop my own motivational speeches, but as well, we are working together to make a good tag team motivational speech to give to everyone out there.
That is awesome. What's so beautiful about the teamwork that you guys have is that you're both coaching each other in different ways on and off the field, and I just imagine that has to create such a good bond, but some pretty crazy moments too.
Oh, yes, it definitely does. We have had lots of great funny moments, good moments, and et cetera.
So what's the awkward thing you guys have had to deal with in order to get to where you are in your current situation?
Andy, I will go first and share with your listeners that I am a late in life athlete. I did not run track at any point in my life because Marcus started in middle school. In 2011, I woke up one day and said to my husband that I want to run 100 meters. And he had a track background. He coached me. Lo and behold, my first time out at the Washington State Senior Games, I won first place.
Wow.
50 and the 100 meters. And I was racing against women who had been competing since middle school, college. Some of them were still running in races around the United States and world, and here I am. My awkwardness concerning that is that I felt like an imposter, and I shared this with Marcus after he became my coach, and I won 2 silver medals at the Washington State Senior Games last year. All that time, since 2011 until last year, I felt like an imposter. Here I am sitting with these people who are talking about the races that they have competed in, like I said, in the United States, around the world. They're also talking about their racing equipment, magazines that they read, and I'm sitting there like, Andy, my darling, if they were talking about fashion, of course, you know, but when you're out of your element, but yet here I was winning races. I had my medals. They congratulated me on the medals that I had earned and said, oh, you should go on to nationals. And I'm like, nationals? I mean, I'm just out here on a whim. But there was just that feeling inside that I had that I don't belong here. I don't fit in. And when I shared that with Marcus, when I confessed that to him, he listened very, very, very patiently, and he said, you're a sprinter. You know, why would you even feel like that? Because, Andy, it was something new, and it didn't matter that I was good at it and getting better and better at it. There's still that awkward moment of, here I am with these people who have sacrificed so much of their life, and here I am just coming into this sport,
just walking
racing
in,
and beating people, and yes. So that is my personal awkward moment concerning track and field. Marcus can share a couple of awkward moments with me, but I want to talk about the one with the cushion when you fall back on the cushion. I'll share that after you share yours, Marcus.
But I do want to say. Before we hear the next moment, though, I just have to acknowledge how important that is that you saw that imposter syndrome, because one thing I've really learned through talking to people on these podcasts mainly is that our success in any given area has nothing to do with our own feelings that we have to still overcome with our self-doubt or our insecurity, because here we are holding all the medals, holding all the prizes, and then you still don't feel like you're the sprinter.
Exactly. You're right. Exactly. Because I'm there, whether it was at Washington State, and then when I earned my way to nationals, and I was around world-class athletes who this is their life, this is their moment. They are competing around the world. And here I am, you know, and okay, it's like a dream, or I'm Forrest Gump. That's what I kept comparing myself to. I'm just Forrest Gump winding up in these situations.
I just decided to run.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
Run, Madonna, run, you know.
I love it.
And everybody should know it.
That is cool. So Marcus, you have a different story.
Yes, I have a different story, but I want to start off with talking about one of the awkward moments with me and Madonna at the track.
Awesome.
And I'm going to start with one of our first days. Our first day, normally, Madonna is my first mature athlete that I've ever coached. And normally when I work with other athletes, I typically take them through warm-ups. I show them how to stretch. I show them different drills. This time, with her being a mature adult, I didn't know how much she's done in the sport. I just let her warm up. I told her, hey, you warm up. Let me watch and let me see how you move and let me see what you do. And she started off doing all the normal stretches. And I'm like, okay, so she knows what she's doing. And I knew that she did, because I knew that her husband was obviously was her coach before, so I knew she knew how to warm up. But then she grabs this lacrosse ball. I believe it was a lacrosse ball. And I'm like, okay, normally when I have athletes use this lacrosse ball, I have them get on the ground and roll out their hips or certain different things. She grabbed this ball, and then she walked over to the wall. I'm like, what the heck is she about to do? Why is she walking to the wall? And as a coach, I'm just like, you know what? This is her day. I'm going to let her do her thing. She grabs this ball. She gets on the wall, and she's just – remember, she's working her hips, but normally I'm used to people doing it on the ground. She gets on the wall. She's using this lacrosse ball, getting her hips loose, but it was just so different. And
so
I didn't know what to do or say, so I'm just staring at her like, is this even working? But, you know, every athlete has their own ways to stretch and warm up, and for her, that is what she was taught. And so that was one thing that was just – I just – kept quiet. I didn't want to tell her anything. What's up?
So, no, I'm just trying to picture this in my head. So, there's the wall, and then the ball is between her and the wall.
The ball is between her and the wall. It's on her hip, and she's just like going up and down. If we were together, I'd show you. Trust me.
This sounds like something I see on the dance floor in a club on a Saturday night.
Exactly. She's just doing her little dance, getting loose, and I'm just like, okay, I guess this is how we do it. Cool. At the end of the day, for me, as long as she can practice and she feels good, it's okay. And then moving forward, I just kept quiet. I didn't say anything. I let her do her thing. Then I knew one thing for her. I was going to have her do drills and different exercises that she probably hasn't done before. And with that being said, I honestly didn't think that she was ever going to trip or fall. But, hey, this time she was doing A skips, and she clipped her calf and fell. But when she fell, she knew she was falling. And I tell you, she fell in such a slow motion. I'm like, I don't know. Like, in my mind, I'm like, you can't be hurt because
like
it fell so slow. But, like, but you're an adult also. And I'm like, maybe she is hurt. But she's laying there for, like, 5 seconds. And I'm like, she's not doing anything. Is she hurt? I'm worried now. Because the first thing as a coach, when you see your athlete fall, you're like, okay, is she okay? But then 5 seconds later, she burst out laughing. And I'm like, oh, snap, she's perfectly fine. But I'm still standing there because it's awkward. Like, you just fell. I didn't think it was funny, but I thought she was actually hurt. But then she just started busting out laughing. But for me, I didn't know what to do, so I just stood there. And then she looks at me, and I think she's expecting me to laugh with her. But I'm still in shock of, like, okay, she's not hurt, so we're good. But it was just one of those moments where we looked at each other. She's laughing. I'm still, like, worried. And we can laugh about it now because now that we talk about it, she knows where my thought process was. But she just felt so slow.
Right.
I was like, there's no way she's hurt. But maybe she is because I just had no clue. But it was a little funny moment and an awkward moment when we looked at each other and realized she's okay, and all those other things. And so Madonna can take over and tell you her side of that story as well. But those were, that was the first day we ever met, and definitely had our
oh, wow.
at first.
So that was on
and
the same first day. Wow.
Yes.
That first day. First 30 minutes.
His first day with a mature athlete and Andy, I know how to fall because I've been in the theater, and so I know how to do a prac fall.
Sure.
For your listeners who have been sure. So and I've played tennis, and anytime I know that I'm going to fall, well, you just go with it. And you just kind of slow things down. But there I was, kind of, I guess, doing a matrix move in front of Marcus. And I just remember laying there on my back. It was February 13th, 2019. It was 32 degrees, and there were snow flurries.
Oh, it was cold.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
And here I was just laying flat on my back, arms out to the side, and I'm looking at Marcus because I'm thinking, what is he thinking? What is he thinking? And then I just started laughing because it was an awkward moment. And I just started laughing, and I was wondering, what's he going to do? Is he going to come over here and help me up, or what?
Right. Like, what are the rules for this situation? Neither of us know.
It would be for Marcus. What are the rules? Because he's used to being around much younger athletes. Now, another awkward moment was, oh, gosh. And this wasn't the same day, Andy. It was not the same day. It was further in. Maybe we'd been working with each other a couple of months. And Marcus gave me a set of instructions. He said, I want you to run 100 meters, then 200 meters, then 150 meters. And he said, do you have it? Do you understand me? And
she
and
told me she had it.
And I'm not very good in math. But I said, I've got it. You know, I've got this. Now, Marcus was sitting up on this huge cushion that the pole vaulters use.
Pole vaulters, yes, ma'am.
You know, when the pole vaulters use and they go over the big
bar,
and then they fall down. And Marcus is sitting up on that, I guess, so that he has a view of everything that I'm supposed to do. So I guess I was supposed to sprint for 100 meters, then I'm supposed to jog for 150 or 200, whatever the instructions were. Andy, off I go, off I go. I got the 100 meters now, sprinting, but then I just started doing I don't know what I was doing, but it wasn't what Marcus expected me to do. And this is the first time he was frustrated with me, Andy. Marcus is sitting up on that cushion. He yells out, "What are you doing?" And then he falls over backwards on the cushion. He's frustrated with me. And Andy, usually when he says something to me when I'm on the track, I'll stop or slow down, and he'll say, "No, just keep on going." Mm-hmm. But this time, I just kept running.
He kept going.
And I said, "Okay, so Andy, he says to me, what are you doing?" As he's falling backwards, and I keep running, and I yell out, "I don't know."
And you just keep running.
Kept going.
Oh my gosh.
I was like, oh my gosh.
And I just kept running. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know. And there he is laying on his back, just frustrated because he told this, what he thought was a competent adult, you know, because I've been acting like a competent, mature adult. Because I follow his instructions. I told you, I don't say anything. I just do what he tells me to do.
Right.
And this was the first time.
The first time, yes.
That he told me to do something, and I didn't do it. But I did have an opportunity to say, could you repeat that? You know, but I didn't. And then I just, I don't know, I got to a point where, what am I? Am I supposed to be doing the turkey trot here or the moonwalk?
Is this the part where I skip?
Yeah, is this the part where I do the A skip? And then when he was just yelled out at me, because he had never raised his voice at me, "What are you doing?" And he just fell back. And I was like, oh, my gosh, he's a on. That he's been upset with me.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, Marcus, what were you expecting?
I mean, Andy, when I give her instructions and she says she has it and she understands, I just automatically assume that she was going to do the right thing. And when she does her first 100, I'm like, okay, she's doing what she's supposed to do. And then I want her to walk 50 meters, but then she only walks 20 meters, and then she starts running again. And I'm like, where did I ever say walk 20 meters and keep going? And then, like she also tells you, I told her, I usually tell her, I yell at her, like, keep going, put your head down, but she's still supposed to continue running. This is the one time I was trying to just tell her to stop, but she just keeps going, because normally I tell her, like, anytime I say something to you, if you don't hear me, still keep going and finish the workout. So I understand why she kept going, but I was just so lost because she looked me in the eyes and said, I got it. But she did not have it. She did not understand. And I was like, oh, my gosh. And I honestly wasn't going to say it out loud, but my natural body did. And for us, communication is very key. Because another awkward moment, which she'll probably explain a little bit more, is that we had one practice one day, and I didn't know what she did before practice.
Yeah.
I had no clue. So when she came to practice, I thought that she was perfectly fine. I thought her mind was right. Her body felt good. We haven't seen each other in some days, and she's going to be good. Well, we come to practice, and I notice that she's starting to warm up a little sluggish. She doesn't look like normal Madonna, but she's still in her mind. I said, you good? That's all I'm going to ask. Are you good? And she tells me yes. So then we go in through drills, and I have one specific drill, and she continues to do it wrong. And I'm like, what is going on? And I ask her, are you good? She says yes. And she continues to do this drill wrong, and she's losing her breath. And I'm telling her to breathe. Like, what is going on? Like, the communication is key for us. And so now I'm starting to get frustrated. And like she said, I don't normally get frustrated with her. She always does what I ask. And it wasn't like she wasn't listening. But that was one of our awkward moments where I stopped. And I'm literally like, what's going on? Like, something's wrong. I don't care what you say. Something is off.
Right.
And that's when she looked at me. She's like, well, I XYZ. She'll tell you she flew in from some major event. She stayed up super late because she had work to do. And these are things a coach needs to know, because if your mind or your body is just fatigued from doing other things, I need to know so I can change certain workouts. But this is something that I've seen her do 1,000 times already correctly, and she kept messing up, and I finally just kind of snapped, and then we had those moments. But, you know, she took it. She was perfectly okay. But once she told me, I was like, oh, this makes total sense. But I was just so confused because she tells me, I'm good. I'm good. I got it. But sometimes she doesn't. But these little things that we have to learn.
Andy, the other part of that, my end of it, I had just come back from competing in Albuquerque at the National Senior Games, and the altitude up there is 3,500 feet above sea level. It's hard to breathe there. But
wow,
trained, yes. Seattle is 350 feet above sea level. So that's, And I had learned how to breathe in Albuquerque. When I returned to practice, because Marcus was getting me ready for the Washington State Senior Games in a couple of weeks, it was probably about three, my flight was late getting in. I had two presentations that I had to do, one on a Saturday and then one on a Tuesday, and we meet on a Wednesday. But I'm thinking, oh, you know, I can handle this. I'm all right. And then when I started going through the drills, I realized I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And I'm back in Seattle, but I mean, Tacoma, I should be able to breathe. Anyway, to make a long story short, during the drills, I was having difficulty breathing, and Marcus sitting on the fence with his stopwatch, was telling me that my recovery time was over, but I couldn't breathe, Andy, so I wasn't going anywhere. And he jumped down off the fence, came over and stood over me, and he was telling me, your recovery time is over, and he's trying to help me breathe. And Andy,
right.
I told him later, of course, I wanted to slap the living daylights out of him because I couldn't breathe. I could not breathe,
yeah.
So I couldn't run 120 meters or whatever he wanted me to run six times in a row. I did it eventually. It was hard. And then afterwards, I just laid out on the grass next to the sign that says stay off the grass, but I didn't care because I was tired and I couldn't breathe. But
yeah. Wow.
That was the situation between us.
You're not going to believe this, but we are getting down to just a few minutes left here. And so I do want to know if you had a turning point or what kind of advice you'd give people on how to own that awkward and how to make it work, especially when you're trying to work with someone else. What would you leave other people with?
I'm going to say that when you drop kick the drama, anything is possible. You can inspire, you can motivate, and you can accomplish.
Okay? I love that. And I love how you worked in drop kicking the drama.
My new website. For being a motivational speaker, I'll throw it over to Marcus so he can take us out of here.
Okay, and for me, very, very quickly, one of my awkward moments also with Madonna was when we were making a video together. We were making a video for National Senior Games, and for me, I don't have any acting expertise. I'm not used to having a script and being on camera. I'm used to doing interviews on camera and doing my sport, but not actually having a line and acting. And for me, I was so worried at first about what she thought of me, what the videographer thought of me. And sometimes for people, we think about our awkwardness and we just worry about what others think. And once Madonna told me to relax and just be in my zone and not worry about what she and anybody else was thinking, that's when I was able to perform my best to where we were able to put on a good video for the National Senior Games. And I would just tell everybody listening out there, focus on yourself. You're awkward is your awkwardness. Own it. Don't listen to anybody. Don't worry about anybody watching or listening. Just focus on you, and that's the one way you can own it, accept it, and understand it. And then you'll be able to do what you need to do.
I think that is beautiful, and I love how you say that, like the being able to relax and just be yourself is what actually made it better. I think that's so beautiful and so hard to do sometimes. But once you do, it makes all the difference. So thank you. Well, thank you for being here today.
We appreciate you. 30 minutes went
by. It does. Time flies. And I did say this was going to be the fastest episode we've ever had. And it's true. It's flown by. So everybody, check out Marcus Chambers and Madonna Hannah and give them some love online. And you'll see their links to the social media in the website here. And Madonna, as soon as your website is live, we will add that in so that everybody can drop kick the drama for themselves. So
thank you very much.
All right, that's been another episode of Own Your Awkward. Everybody, you make sure to keep it real, keep it awkward, and do what you need to do to own your awkward. Have a great day.
Thanks again.